Let's take our Bibles this afternoon and turn to the book of Daniel. First chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start in the first verse. Here the Bible says, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Let's pause and ask God's blessing on our time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. We thank you for the book of Daniel and Daniel himself and Lord, how you worked in his life. We pray that it might be a challenge to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a song in our hymn book entitled, "Dare to be a Daniel." And that's a great song of challenge to have a purpose and to make it known. Daniel is a great example of someone that can live godly in an evil generation and an evil world. Today we have a lot of excuses of people as to why they don't serve the Lord. Some people say that society is so bad that I can't live godly. Now, those might not be words that we would voice, but that is the belief in our heart. We see the world is just falling further and further and further into sin, and we see the Christian numbers dwindling, and those that have dedication to the Lord fall by the wayside. And we start to think that, yes, society really is that bad. I just can't live godly or stay faithful to Him. Some people believe it just isn't worth it anymore to live for God. Some people look at what God has taken away from them. And of course, we're challenged by Job, who everything was taken away from. But we just see the things that have befallen us and the evil in this world, and we just kind of give up. We look at everything that's been taken away. Or some people look at this world and see the prevalence of evil and they say in their minds that God just isn't that powerful anymore. What happened in the book of Acts just was great for them, but it's not going to happen today. Well, I think these are some of the excuses that the rest of the children of captivity had to say, but Daniel was different. Daniel would answer those excuses by saying, "You still can stay faithful to God." And the land that Daniel grew up in was a very, very wicked time. It was a time when God already had it appointed. Josiah found out, but he found the law of the Lord after God's judgment had already been declared, and it wouldn't be reversed. King Jehoiakim reigned while Daniel was still there in his own homeland, and it didn't last very long. You see, they were very wicked people. They'd given themselves to idolatry. They burned their living children to other gods. Today we sacrifice our unborn children. And so I think a lot of what happened in Daniel's day is happening in our days as well. They sure are wicked times that we live in, but that doesn't mean that we can't live godly. We realize with Daniel what was top priority in his life was indeed his relationship with God, and we'll see that. First, notice the purpose of Daniel in verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. First of all, Daniel had to stand up. Daniel had to stand up. He had a desire to do what was right. He wanted to stay faithful to God. He must have had good parents. He lived through some pretty tough times. The king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, came against Israel and besieged the city of Jerusalem. And if you could just imagine the terrible times as a city, the life of the city is just being snuffed away from them as people begin to die for lack of food and water. Terrible times. But yet Daniel still decided to stand up and to do what's right. You see, the Christian life is not a life of comfort and carelessness, but it's a life of caution and it's a life of commitment. That should be the ordinary Christian life. You see, it should be a life of caution because, as we heard this morning, there is a devil who is a lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so it's a life of caution. It's a life of commitment. Seeing Daniel's devotion. You see, Daniel wanted to please God more than he did his five senses. You see, we have the lust of the flesh. Our five senses, we know what we want. We want a nice warm bed. We want a pleasing house, a house that looks nice. We want a car that looks nice. Many, many things we want to please our senses. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But Daniel said, my devotion is to God more than myself. There's nothing wrong with those natural desires of the flesh. But if you want what you want more than what God wants, then you've placed yourself as an idol. But Daniel shows us a life of commitment. A life that doesn't just go with the flow. And I'm turning to 1 John chapter 2, where John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And here's the key verse. Here is the verse of challenge that sets our priorities straight. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't just go with the flow. You see, it's popular to live for yourself. That's what people that are unsaved, that is all they have to live for. Certainly there are a few more noble people. Mother Teresa was in the news a lot and placed on a pedestal because she did care about other people. But naturally, people gravitate towards themselves and pleasing themselves. Don't go with that flow. You see, the Bible says that the lust will pass away. The things that people want, the nice house, it's going to go away. The cars that we want. Yeah, I have my own few favorites myself that I'd like to have. I probably couldn't afford the gas for them because they've got some big engines in them. But, you know, I don't really need that. The car that I have now is just going to rust away, and so will yours. And it'll be junk. It'll sit in a junkyard somewhere. The world and the lust thereof will pass away. But if you'll do what God wants you to do, you'll live forever and you'll abide forever, as the verse tells us. We'll have the right perspective. This world's going to follow its lust. That's no surprise. But one who will deny himself, deny our five senses, and follow Christ, that'll be shocking. Daniel shocked a lot of people, and we'll see some of these people here in a little bit. But Daniel was not afraid to stand up. He had a desire to please God. Secondly, he had to speak up. So where the rubber hits the road, verse 10. Verse 10. The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then he shall make me endanger my head to the king. So, verse 8, we pick up the point where he had to speak up. He requested that he wouldn't have to defile himself to Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs. Daniel had to put his faith in action here. We see his not only his desire, but his determination, as we have to speak up and not compromise. You see, Satan's desire for us, as we go through the Christian life, as we try to stay on the straight path, He is trying to assault us from the side and get us to see things that'll catch our eye and distract us. His desire is for us just to roll with the punches, just to take it as it goes, just kind of like a sailboat, just sailing along wherever the wind takes it. For example, when I first got a job, I told them I can't work on Sundays. I made my schedule clear. Well, you know, they don't memorize what you ask for off. And so I looked at the schedule one week, and there I was, scheduled to work during church. What did I have to do? You see, I could just easily just sweep it under the carpet and not come to church. Well, my dad would probably run over me with his car, but wasn't about to do that. But you know, I had to do something. I had to speak up. You see, Daniel was placed into the situation where he would be defiled. So he had to stand up, but he had to speak up as well. Daniel, as well as us, sometimes we'll have to tell people things they don't want to hear so that we can hear something that we do want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we need to speak up. Compromise is easy. Compromise is popular. But don't do it. You don't have to. We have to put feet to our faith and speak up. Choosing right and resisting the devil is an exercise of our faith. The Bible gives us our spiritual armor. We have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And when you decide to speak up is when you're hoisting up that shield, not letting the devil gain the victory in your life. The shield of faith will resist the devil. I think we see with Daniel, as Jesus spoke of in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. People that hunger will put feet to their desire. When you're hungry, where do your feet take you? They're going to take you to the refrigerator, aren't they? They're going to take you or a little further down and go to McDonald's. You see, if we have faith, we're going to put feet to it. We're going to have actions to go along with our words. The Bible says we will be filled. Daniel wanted to please God, and he put that into action. If we could only catch that desire, how much more God would be able to do with us. And so we need to ask for it. We need to make commitments to God. Daniel purposed in his heart, he made a commitment, I am not going to give in. And then he followed through. You see, the Christian life is one of commitment. How often, how much in the habit are we to make a commitment to God? We used to have on our television the Bible verse where David said, I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. You see, he made a commitment to God. We need to be in the habit of making commitments to stay away from sin and to be righteous in our living. So we need to stand up. We need to speak up. But we also need to be willing to sacrifice. To sacrifice. Daniel was turning down a pretty good meal. The king was providing him the very best that he could think of. You know, sometimes that is the hardest thing to resist. When it's someone's kindness, and yet it's compromise, that's very difficult to say no to. But the question is, whose company do you want to please? If you want to please God's company, you'll be willing to tell no to the friendliness of another sometimes. Sometimes that's what it costs, and that's the hardest. And it kind of tears your heart in two, but you have to be committed to God. You need to be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to do without, pleasing God more than your senses. Who of us would look at a plate over here that has carrots and celery and Brussels sprouts and a glass of water? Over here you've got steak, you've got grape juice and mashed potatoes and anything you want. Well, that would be a tough decision. But you see, Daniel knew what went along with that plate that had the good food on it. It would be defiling himself before God. It would be sin. It would be wickedness. He said, I'm willing to sacrifice a good meal to stay faithful to God. The question is for us, are we willing to live a life of sacrifice for Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice our time to serve God? It just as my dad was speaking this morning on an ambassador, he doesn't 24/7 speak only as an ambassador. He'll probably be a father. He'll probably have friends and speak as a friend. He's not always an ambassador. God has given us 24 hours, 7 days a week. God doesn't require that all of it be in Christian service, but are we giving time to God to serve Him? Will we spend time on Saturday morning to knock on doors and share Christ with other people? Someone else was led to the Lord yesterday because of the visitation ministry of this church. Our church needs to get behind that ministry and sacrifice a little time for God and His service because we want to hear well done. That's why we're willing to share the gospel, something that they may not want to hear, so that we can hear what's most important. We should be in the habit of giving tracts. So sometimes we have to sacrifice time. If we're a servant of God, we need to. Secondly, sometimes we need to sacrifice friends. Friends. Sometimes the friends that are most enjoyable to keep company with are the ones we need to turn away from. And that's very difficult to do as well. That's really where the rubber meets the road. Because they may be more the dynamic personality that everybody flocks to. But the question is this. Are they following God? Do they care to do what is right, like Daniel? You see, if they don't, then it won't be too long and you won't either. Who will you become? Look at those that you keep company with and that you enjoy spending time with. That's who you will become if... Well, either way, the Bible says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. If we have good friends, they'll lead us in the right direction. We see who Daniel chose his friends to be. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were willing to lead him to God. Those are the kind of friends that we need to have as Christians. That's why it's so important to be in church. People today say church isn't important. I can worship God in my house. That's true, but you can't worship God the way God wants to be worshipped unless you're in a church. That's what He says in His Word. That was our Sunday school lesson this morning. But who are our friends? God gave us the church so that we would have Christians to rub shoulders with. Christians to be our friends because they should be leading us in the right direction. Sometimes we have to sacrifice friendships. If you just start acting like a Christian, guess what will happen? Those friends you shouldn't have won't want anything to do with you. Problem solved. Sometimes we have to give up time. We have to give up friends. The world's entertainment. The world's entertainment. You know, they have a lot of movies that are very interesting. Whatever kind of movie you like a comedy, they've got one for you. If you like action movies, they've got one for you. If you want a chick flick or a love story, they've got them. And you know, they put a lot of time and the best people for the job they can find. And so they don't put out, you know, low-rate stuff. They're going to put out the stuff that is most attractive to people. And yet so often it's laced with profanity, taking God's name in vain. You can list sin after sin after sin in the movies that people watch today, the world's entertainment, and television shows. It's just almost unbelievable whenever I get around to television, because we don't have one here. We don't have any TV channels. I think that's a good thing because the world is just so wicked. These TV shows, the words they're allowed to say now is just ridiculous. But you, as a child of God, will you turn off, or will you mute, or will you fast forward parts of a movie that shouldn't be seen or heard? Then the question is, what would you do at a friend's house? What would you do at someone else's house? Well, that's why we don't go to the movies, one of several reasons. Because if I'm at home watching a movie, and there's a bad part, I have the option, I have a mute button, I've got an off button, I've got a fast forward button on that remote. But when you're in the movies, you have to hear it. They don't turn it down. They don't fast forward the parts that Christians shouldn't see. A Christian has no business being in a movie house. The question is, are we going to be like Daniel? Remember, it's easy to compromise. But if you purpose in your heart to do right, God will honor you for it. What about the world's entertainment when it comes to music? To music. Just ask yourself, we all have our taste in music. Everybody's different. But what does your music glorify? What does your music promote? That ought to tell us. If it glorifies God, seeks to bring glory to Him, then chances are it's all right and it's good music. Not all that claims it is good. But that's just one barometer to use. You see, the music you listen to will be your thoughts tomorrow. and they'll be your actions down the road. You need to be careful. The world's entertainment isn't worth it. The world and the lust thereof shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Remember that verse. What about money? Money. The list can go on and on, but this will be my last point on this topic. But money, so many Christians will sell out for money. How does Jesus say it? No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and hold to the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. You can't have two masters. You're either going to go for the love of money, or you should be towards the love of God. And certainly there's other choices, but you can't serve two masters. You can't love money and love God as well. A lot of Christians sacrifice God's blessings for a little bit of money. Just remember, the world and the lust thereof, money will pass away. Remember, all that you sacrifice to God in any of these categories, anything you sacrifice to do right, God will richly, richly repay you in this life and also in the next. Daniel will stand up before you today and say, it's worth it to serve God. It's worth it to take a stand for Him. And we'll see that. Now I want to see the providence of God. We see the purpose of Daniel, but we see the providence of God in his life. Look at verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You see, Daniel had a good friend. And that friend was somebody that was over him. Somebody that wasn't of his own country. It was somebody else. It was a Babylonian, most likely. God brought him into very tender friendship. In other words, best friends. You see, BFF all the time, texting lingo, best friends forever. You know, they were good. They were really, really, really close friends. But see, who did that? It was the providence of God. You see, as we submit to God, He will give us the right kind of friends. God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with Ashpenaz, the prince of the eunuchs. You see, what we see here is a man who took a stand. And we see God directing all of his steps. Look at verse 15. After Daniel said, give us vegetables instead of that steak. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So they probably had hundreds, if not thousands, of people here. And who looked the very best? It was the ones that took a stand for God. That doesn't say God's going to make you look like a football player and you'll be in shape if you'll eat vegetables all the time. No, it's not saying that. But what it is saying is God will bless you. God will provide. His providence will be in your life. Look at verse 17. Now that they're eating vegetables and drinking water every day. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel was given something that nobody else was. He was able to interpret dreams and had understanding and visions. But they were given knowledge and skill and wisdom to serve God with. You see, Joseph was another one who took a stand. God blessed him with wisdom. People saw it. It made a difference in their lives. Verse 19. Look at this. The king communed with them. These are captives. These are people that have to do what they're told. What would the king really want to do with them on a daily basis? You see, God is working all things in their lives, bringing him even into the companionship of King Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't that amazing? The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. You see, God, I kind of think of a puppet where someone's pulling the strings above and making them move. I see that's Daniel's life. God is pulling the strings in his life. God is bringing friendships and crossing his paths in very blessed ways because of what Daniel did and his friends. Verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Verse 21 speaks of Daniel's faithfulness, and Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel was not only blessed with all these things, but he was blessed to serve King Nebuchadnezzar and the next king, we know King Darius, all the way up to King Cyrus. Daniel was continually before a king. You see, it takes a pretty special person to stand before a king. What we want to see, though, is the providence of God, how God worked in his life. Did any of these other people from Judah experience these blessings of God? No. We don't read about them in this book. We just know they're part of a group that joined right into the Babylonian culture of the Chaldeans. But what we see, and let's go to the book of Psalms, is where God leads, your steps are sure and established. Let's go to the 40th Psalm. Psalm 40, read the first two verses. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Now let's turn back to Psalm 37. Look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Look at verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 4 as well. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Wisdom is being personified here. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. You see, when we have God leading us, our way is established. Our way is sure. Our goings are sure. What does that mean? This could be spoken of Daniel. You don't have to second guess yourself. You see, that would be my personality. I look back on things and I think, well, how would things be different if I did something different? You see, when God makes your pathway sure, when he establishes your goings, you don't have to second guess yourself. You don't have to say, well, what if I would have bought this house instead of this house? Or picked this car instead of that car? You see, when God is leading you, you don't have to do that. If God is leading you, you don't question his leading. You don't have to. And that is a blessing. Could you imagine if you didn't? If you didn't seek God's counsel, would you imagine marrying the wrong person? How terrible that would be. I just know me. If I had married the wrong person, I would question myself every time we got into an argument or any time there was strife and discord. Well, would this have happened if I would have married the person God wanted me to marry? That would be terrible because you have to live like that the rest of your life. Don't marry someone that's unsaved, teenagers, because that will plague you. The devil will throw that at you every time he gets a chance. What if I married the wrong person? What if I chose the wrong career? What if I led my life down a road that I shouldn't have? You see, we don't have to do that when we take a stand for God and have purpose in our heart. When he leads you, there's no second guessing. Daniel had purpose. God providentially blessed his life. And then thirdly, we see the protection of Daniel. In chapter 2, verse 4, we get the idea of what's going on here. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Go down to verse 12. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. This is probably many years after chapter 1 happened. King Nebuchadnezzar probably forgot about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But we see a great quandary here. God gave Nebuchadnezzar a very troubling dream. And Nebuchadnezzar believed this was a message from God. And yet he forgot what it was. Now God was setting this all up. You see, God was guiding Daniel pulling the strings. God was doing the same with King Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream. He knew it was important, but he couldn't remember it. And so this brought the Chaldeans, the astrologers, the masters. They should know. If anybody knew, it was these guys. They could give the answer. And of course, they said, no one's even ever asked of anything like this before of us, or any king or any other astrologers. Nobody ever asked for something like this. In other words, king, you're crazy. Why are you asking us for this? We can't do it. You see there, what God is orchestrating here is for there to be total failure. Because God wanted to do something with his man, Daniel. So there was the impossible situation. Of course, Daniel learns of the decree, knows that his life is about to end. And of course, we know what he does. He prays and God gives him the answer. He prays with his three friends. The power of intercessory prayer is amazing. We as a church can pray together. There's no limits to what can be done. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, I'll turn there very quickly, and verse 7, it's a verse you know. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now notice who that promise is given to, those that fear God. Those that take a stand for God, the angel of the Lord will encamp about you and he'll deliver you. And that's what happened with Daniel here. God turns the tables. This is what I found to be very interesting. Now here, just think for a minute. You know when Job decided to live right, and his response to his great afflictions and trials, he blessed God. Satan noticed that, and that drove Satan nuts. You see, Satan wanted to harm him all he could. Do you suppose that chapter 2, the devil is also pulling some strings to have Daniel killed? Something to think about. What about chapter 3 with Daniel's friends? The devil's trying to get rid of them. They don't bow down. He knew that was going to happen. What about Daniel in the lion's den? All the time, the devil we see through this book is trying to kill God's man. But we see God's deliverance is even greater. God turns the tables. God can do that with any of us. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the hand of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Bow down to God. God will lift you up. God turns the tables. God is in a table-turning business. You see, Daniel chose worse food. God turned the tables to give him a better countenance than the rest. That was not expected. God gave him more wisdom than any of the others had. God gave him a greater conduct that he was standing before the king. God turns the tables when there was a death sentence here in this chapter, chapter 2, to providing Daniel with life. Don't you think a lot of people started to look up to Daniel? All those astrologers, magicians, they realized, hey, we can't even do this. We can't even touch that topic to tell the king what his forgotten dream was. You see how God's getting the glory here? Because a man stood up. God turns the tables, and then all of a sudden Daniel and his three friends are lifted up. What about the fiery furnace? There's a death sentence. It killed the strongest men that Nebuchadnezzar had in his kingdom that tossed them in there. They died from the heat. And yet, what was walking around in them with the fire? It was the man like the Son of God. We understand that it was. You see, they got Christ's very presence walking with them in the fire. Imagine how the people looked up to them. You can't mess with these guys. Not even death can touch them. And then the lion's den as well. Another death sentence. Daniel saw life. He saw God's protection. He knew what happened, that there was an angel that shut the lion's mouth. And perhaps Daniel even saw the angel and communed with the angel all night so that he wouldn't be afraid. Now I'm reading into it a little bit. That may not have happened, but Daniel knew the angel did that. Daniel also saw the destruction of his enemies. Those that hated him so much, they devised a way to get him killed. They died. You see, God turns the tables. when we stand up for Him. And so we need to apply this to each of our own lives. First of all, are we someone of purpose? Do we make commitments? Have we made commitments to God? Stand up for what's right. Go against the flow and don't compromise. The devil's going to, you'll just walk right in to compromise. And you've got to turn the other way and get out. You got to stand up. You got to speak up. You'll see God's providence as you do that. And you'll have protection. Yeah, there's a lion in the streets named Satan. But greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to fear. God greatly was glorified in everything that Daniel did. And everything he did for Daniel. It was God's great blessing, but it was kind of working both ways. God blessed Daniel, and because Daniel was who he was, when God blessed Daniel, God was glorified. That's the amazing thing. That's what God wants our lives to be. When He does something in your life, it's for His glory, and you return that to Him. Just think of all the people. His fellow Israelites looked up to Him. Melzar and Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs and the steward of the eunuchs. All the magicians, astrologers, and Chaldeans, and even King Nebuchadnezzar himself, he soon would realize, after he was turned into an insane individual for 7 years, there's only one God in heaven. But God was glorified in all he did for Daniel. And even the times that the devil has set out for his destruction, God was glorified. We also apply this to our church. This is the message that I want to leave you with, is that there aren't limits in this world. There's nothing in this world that can stop this church from going forward and growing. But we've got to sacrifice. We need to stand up, make commitments. We need to speak up and not back down, not compromise. And then we need to sacrifice our time, sacrifice whatever other opportunity the devil throws our way that would get us off course from serving God. Will you determine to reach somebody this week that you'll pass out at least one tract, if not five? That's one of the most least invasive ways to give someone the gospel. Determine to reach somebody for Christ. Determine to stand up. And God will pull the strings in your life. I know God's pulling the strings in my life. The opportunity brought me to go up to Michigan. It wasn't something I was looking for. But I know God is pulling the strings. I'm convinced of that. And that's why I follow. But God will place people in your paths and opportunities for ministry in your path if you'll be the kind of person that God can work through. And we'll see this church. I'll hear great things when I come back. I'll see new faces. And that's what I desire to see, but most importantly, that's what God wants. And so will we have purpose to see God's providence and to see His protection? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Daniel. We thank You for a man that would go against the wicked world to live for You. Lord, I know that's a challenge to me. Lord, I know that's a challenge to all of us. Lord, I pray that we'll be even more dedicated. Lord, that we will make commitments to You. Lord, that we'll keep those commitments for Your glory. And now, Lord, we just thank You for how You will work in our lives with Your providence and Your protection. Now, Lord, we just thank You for Your word. In Your name we pray. Amen.